gatto, che schiaro matto.
Tomorori gatto, kick to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have film critic and influencer Janelle Breimer on, talking about our most anticipated films of 2024. We'll also review Argyle, plus Joey V, my executive producer, will join us in this conversation, as he's a big movie guy. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And for those of you who might be driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the Big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. If you're streaming us on Facebook and YouTube, hello to all of you. Thank you for watching tonight. We appreciate that. Of course, if you're listening to us after the fact in the podcast form on whatever platform you get your podcasts, we appreciate you finding us there and tuning in, subscribing each week, listening after the fact. Hopefully, you've already left us a 5-star review. That always helps us out in our search engine optimization. And if you're watching this on YouTube, very quickly, scroll down a little bit, hit that subscribe button. We just had our 601st and 602nd and 603rd subscribers all right in a row tonight. So thank you all of you. I'll pull those names up later and congratulate you properly. I meant to do that and it's not on my show notes page. So I'll pull those up on my actual phone and congratulate you. But I appreciate all of you who listen and watch and have now put us over the 600 subscriber mark on YouTube. So thank you very much. We are going to review Argyle tonight. I know that they've said the box office was not kind to this film. We'll give our thoughts. Joey V, my executive producer, will join us in studio as well. We also talk about our highly anticipated movies of 2024 to kind of give all of you listeners a roadmap to what maybe some of these movies you hadn't heard of and weren't on your radar. We might be able to change your mind on that. Helping you change your mind on that is my guest, social media influencer and film critic. Usually I see her here at these screenings in St. Louis. Janelle Breimer joins us. How are you?
For having me. I'm really flattered. Thank you.
No, of course. I appreciate you taking the time. This is great. And we always sit there and talk movies when we're at these screenings. So I figured, hey, you know what? This would be a good chance for us to do it live on air. So this is fun. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect timing. We do. We have a lot of thoughts about everything.
Many thoughts. Argyle. So we talked a little bit off air about this one. I think you and I both talked about, we didn't dislike this as much as I know Joey V saw some reviews that were not kind on this one as well, but it seems like you and I did not dislike it as much as the general public seemed to. And you were saying that with this one, it was pretty much what you expected.
I really did. With the Kingsman, with Matthew Vaughn's The Kingsman, it's highly ridiculous. It's so fantastical. I feel like if people were going into this expecting it to be not as ridiculous as this movie was at times, that maybe that kind of threw them for a loop. But I feel like you kind of should have known what you were getting into just by, you know, who was directing it and the style of movie.
Right. Yeah, it's not a Mission Impossible movie, which, again, some of those can be a little fantastical, but the ridiculousness on this was a little heightened. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, we might do some mild spoilers just by way of what we're going to be talking about, but nothing that would ruin the entire movie for you, because some of the twists I do want to keep hidden, because I was surprised. There were a couple times in the movie I was like, oh, I did not
definitely
see that coming. I wouldn't want to take that away from any of you.
No.
So don't worry about those kind of spoilers here. But we might talk a little bit about some scenes and things like that. My biggest problem was, this is one of the movies, and I can't even recall the last time I saw a movie that I felt this way about. I felt, personally, I loved the performances of both Bryce Dallas Howard and of Sam Rockwell, but I felt they had zero chemistry.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sam Rockwell can he can act his way out of a paper bag, and it just didn't click with them, and perhaps it had to do with the part of the storyline that we don't want to spoil. Maybe that was supposed to be part of the maybe by the time chemistry was supposed to be established, it was a little too late.
Yeah.
In the movie, yeah, I agree with you. It was an odd pairing. Yeah, there was more chemistry between Henry Cavill and John Cena.
I would agree.
Which than was, those two, right?
And I got the parts they play in this for their parts were they were very good at what they did for their part of the movie. I will say both of them.
Right.
This almost had shades of the one we just saw last year with. I can't do names anymore. Sandra Bullock and Tatum Channing. That one.
Yeah, The Lost City.
Yeah, it kind of had a little bit of that where they're, you know, she's out of her element. Yeah.
Right, right. The author who's, worked take on a realistic. Yes, it does have that flavor. Again, it is a extremely ridiculous movie. There are scenes in that that you're going to be like, what am I watching? But that's part of, I guess, the charm of that movie. There's so many cameos in this movie. So, I mean, again, the cast is spot on. There's nobody that's really not correct for the part. It was a B minus movie, which is not a terrible thing, but it was just, it was a good action flick. It might, like I said, like I told you earlier, it might have gone on a little too long.
I agree.
There might have been a few too many twists. Like you
maybe
get
that
towards
was it.
The end, you're like, oh my goodness, really again?
Yeah.
But I mean, aside from like any movie, you can pick apart, after time and over time. I think. It was fine. I haven't seen the bad reviews. Are they pretty bad? I mean, are they pretty bad?
Yeah, I know Joey V, my executive producer, is here with me. And you said you saw some that were just brutal to it. Did you not?
Yeah, there's this exhaustion with Matthew Vaughn repeating himself and his tricks with his Kingsman movies. And, are people asking for another Kingsman type movie and then the next Kingsman TV series that's coming up? I don't know if they are in the Kick-Ass movies. They kind of got worse as they went along. So I am seeing a little bit of fatigue with his tricks that he's doing.
I guess you can understand that, but I feel like every director kind of has their own shtick. So it would be weird to be like, well, I'm really, Killers of the Flower Moon. You did that great. So maybe people are getting tired of Scorsese's shtick. I think every director has their thing, and maybe it's because it is such a dial to 11 type of movie that maybe it is like exhausting on the nervous system after a while.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like I've heard of people writ large being, getting tired of Quentin Tarantino. Like his films all have a certain style and a certain, bloodshed and everything to him. But I never heard anyone say, oh gosh, another Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right.
Where the fact that with the reviews that Joey pointed out, people are tired of Matthew Vaughn. I'm like, well,
that's what he does.
Everyone, maybe, I don't know, that style, that if people are getting tired of that style of that big over the top type of thing like we were talking about. But to your point, too, this made me even more angry that we've not yet gotten Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor in a live-action DC movie. I mean, the way he plays a villain is just... the whole time I kept thinking, I'm like, why haven't we seen him as Lex Luthor yet? Because that would be perfect.
He's, again, him and Sam Rockwell, they're just so good. And Catherine O'Hara, everybody was well cast.
Yeah.
Maybe it just didn't hit the mark for a few people, but.
So how do you scale your movies? 1 to 10, 5 stars? How do you scale yours usually?
Well, for the TV show, we usually have to give them out of 5. So I gave it about a 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was, about a B minus, it's good on the big screen. I don't think it's going to translate that well to at home. Although, I mean, if you have a 100-inch screen TV at home, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good popcorn movie for the theaters.
Yeah. And this is one of those ones you'd probably expect to come out. This was, I think, a good, I was scratching my head why they released Haunted Mansion in July and not Halloween time. But this, I feel like February was a perfect, because this is a good date movie. I think this is a fun movie for that purpose. And if you're looking for something new, and maybe this might be one for you. I told Joey, I said I'd probably give it about a 6.5 out of 10, roughly a C plus B minus. So I think we're in the same overall trajectory. But yeah, if you like Matthew Vaughn and you're not tired of him, then this might be a movie you want to see. And it was the colorful parts worked really well. I'll leave it at that without spoilers. I like that scene was stylistically beautiful. Yeah. It just, even though it was a little ridiculous.
Very ridiculous.
But it was stylistically very, very cool to see. And I'm sure it was a hoot to film. So that's our review. Anything else before we wrap, put a pin in this one, Joey? Anything else you want to add about Argyle?
I didn't see the film, but I watched a spoiler-filled review of it. And it's interesting how it turns out, and the way I heard it explained was perfect. You know, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's kind of like taking the guy who wrote James Bond, Ian Fleming. He was a real spy in real life. Mm-hmm. And just taking that into this crazy territory, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun movie. So if you're looking for it, it sounds like Janelle and I both would recommend seeing it. It's probably something you want to see in theater, so I would say so. Since we already took a commercial break, let's just go ahead and dive right into our most anticipated movies of 2024. Do you want me to bring you in for this one? Or are you going to... the camera's okay?
I'm going to sit quietly and listen to you guys, and then I'm going to just make fart noises if your reviews and your anticipation is bad, if it doesn't with me.
All right, well, that's fair enough.
I'm going to be a critic on the side, like Statler and Waldorf over here.
But you don't want me to bring you on camera yet. I just want to make sure people, if they're wanting to see you, should I go ahead and hit the button?
You know, I'm the director here, right?
You can bring yourself.
I bring myself into camera, yeah.
This is all behind-the-scenes talk. I should have done behind-the-scenes. I apologize to all of you right now for bringing this out on as we talk. But... we have anticipated movies of 2024, and I did 10 minutes of research on this, so hopefully you'll be impressed by what I've come up with. but my guest shall go first. So, Janelle, what is on your list?
Okay, mine are no. I think we discussed this. We don't really have an order. We just kind of looked at it more of like timeline, what's coming out first. And seeing as we've already seen pretty much the stuff kind of in February that's coming out. I don't know if there's anything in February that I really am still waiting for, but I'm going to go with Dune Part 2 here in March. I think, unfortunately, it's been a while since the first one came out. I do feel like the first one needs to be re-released into the theaters for people
sense.
To kind of get back into the Dune mood. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a beautiful, I think the part one was beautifully shown on a big screen. Like I don't know again if it translated well to home theater as much as I remember sitting there just watching on the screen, like the shots were just amazing. So if for anything, just to see more of that.
And very quickly, I want to address in the chats. I'm sorry, I should pay more attention to the chats. And everyone who listens, you know I don't do very well with that. Hello to Spike. We appreciate you watching. Heidi-ho to you. Joe Sturdy said, our review of Argyle sounds like a $5 Tuesday flick at Marcus, which, yeah, that's a great way to see movies. And we have someone from the 314 area code who texted us on the KTRS text lines, said, if the movie was rated R, would it have been better? Argyle? I don't know that it would have been. I think there was still that tongue-in-cheek humor, and I'm not sure if anything that would have bumped it up to an R rating would have helped the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it needed... It's not the kind of movie that you needed, either gratuitous sex or violence in. I think you had... I don't know how that would have played with the ridiculousness.
Yeah, and I don't think any other extra F-bombs or anything would have saved it, so... Yeah,
no.
So to answer your question, our friend from the 314 area code who texted us, I don't think the movie's rating would have, the movie, our rating wouldn't have helped or hurt by the way it was rated. And our friend Will Polk in the chat says, going to be a streaming movie for sure. Yep, that's fine. That's why we have streaming services. That's great. So Dune Part 2 is on your list, then. That's one you're looking forward to.
Yeah. Did you want me to just go through all of them?
We'll hop around. I just want to make sure because I transitioned to the chat, so I want to make sure I didn't accidentally or inadvertently cut you off and take away your last part of anything you wanted to say for Dune.
Yeah, Dune. I call it that for short.
I'm just eager to see that one.
Yeah. I still need to watch the first one again, so that's something that would benefit me as well. You have a movie you're anticipating?
Of course. I just want to say on Dune 2, everyone is very excited for this popcorn bucket. It kind of looks like a sex toy that is taking the internet by storm. So if you have one and you want to sell it, I'm willing to bid at least $30, $40 for this thing.
Okay, no. So you can send Joey an email. You can contact him and reach him on Twitter or Facebook and just let him know you've got it up for sale.
No? SNL did an entire song about this bucket last night. I didn't know it was that popular.
I've got a Blue Beetle popcorn bucket, but it actually looked like a beetle, so I'm not sure if that's to each their own.
There you go. I tried really hard to not go with any sequels. Have you guys noticed how many sequels there are this year?
So many.
Yeah, I mean, I went through my list and circled the ones that were sequels, and I think I missed a couple. Obviously, Dune is a part two. Kung Fu Panda 4. We've got the new Planet of the Apes movie, which is part of that. Inside Out 2. Bad Boys 4. Despicable Me 4. Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley, which is technically Beverly Hills Cop 4. The new Kevin Costner directed one, Horizon American Saga, will be a second chapter. Saw 11. Then we have Joker 2, Smile 2, Terrifier 3, Venom 3, Gladiator 2, Deadpool 3, and Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Ghostbusters, Mad Max, Planet of the Apes, all big, well-known IPs. Godzilla. Oh my goodness.
Crazy.
It's Gladiator?
Yes.
24 years. Well, I say that, but Blade Runner 2049 was brilliant. I loved it. And it was 40 years after the fact, so it's fine.
And I'm not saying you can't have these on your list, but just to run the Beetlejuice 2, it's incredible the amount of unoriginal ideas there are out there. And then even The Fall Guy, based on a TV show, you know, stuff like that. It's wild. So I'm trying to stick it with just stuff that is completely original. So I'm going to go with Civil War by Alex Garland. That's coming out in April. And Alex Garland, he does some real thinking type sci-fi. He's known for Ex Machina and Annihilation. And this is just kind of taking what would happen if there was a real civil war. You know, if, you know, Texas was trying to leave the country, and it stars Kirsten Dunst. And I know that maybe the MAGA people are trying to make this a documentary or a QAnon. But I'd love to see, you know, Alex Garland's take on this. And the posters look wild. You know, just walking through the theater the other day, I saw they had the Statue of Liberty's torch with sandbags and snipers stuck up in the top of the torch. So just right there, I mean, the imagery is grabbing me. And I always love Kirsten Dunst in anything that she does. So Civil War coming out in April. And I try to avoid trailers for this type of stuff so I can just go in blind. But I'm excited.
I don't know if I told you this, but that's one of my New Year's resolutions was to, as soon as I see a trailer come up, whoop, because I felt like it ruined several movies for me in 2023, and I don't want to have that effect in 2024. So I'm going to try my best to not watch trailers and then have the internet ruin movies for me. I want to go in with fresh eyes, because I think a lot of times my opinion goes up or down based on my expectations for the trailer. So it's an experiment I'm doing in 2024. We'll see how it turns out.
How has it worked? Has it worked? Because I go to the movies every Thursday to the Alamo.
Oh, yeah.
So I normally when we go see our movies, you know, screenings is there's, it just goes right into the movie.
Right.
But I've been faced with some trailers that I haven't seen before, one of them being Civil War. So, yeah, that is.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's unavoidable, but if I can help it, like if I'm so far, I've not been to the movies without having a screener like we've gone to. I've not been to the movies on my own where I purchased a ticket and gone at all. Gosh, there was a movie I saw around the holiday season. That was the last time, like November, December. So, so far I've been pretty good. I haven't seen the movies we've watched so far. I've not seen any trailers for. And I watched the one for Ghostbusters because it's Ghostbusters. I had to. But other than that, I've stayed away from them. So
you try not to show up early to the theater. But
if
then
I have to go, right.
You do laps outside the bathroom.
Right.
You rock in your chair with your fingers in your ear.
If they start showing trailers, if I go to the movie theater, I'm going to get out and I'm going to go get popcorn. So that's my way of avoiding them if I do see them in the theater. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know. I'll keep you apprised. Scene and Nerd Podcast says, looking forward to Joker 2 and Deadpool 3, the year of the sequel and reboot. It definitely will be. And he, Scene and Nerd Podcast agrees with you that Civil War does look interesting.
Yeah, Joker is interesting because it's looking like it's going to be a musical with Lady Gaga.
Yes.
And it's the movie that kind of saved DC last year. I mean, they had so many flops, but Joker is the cheapest movie that's ever made $1 billion. So it's incredible that little kind of indie film where it's just talking about Batman and not really showing him made $1 billion.
We'll see how the second one goes, because the first one I'm thinking may have been an anomaly, because I do not like the idea of giving the Joker an origin story. We're going way off topic here. I'm sorry.
We're on topic.
I'm going to put it right back in there. All right, blinders are on. The first one on my list, just because it was the first one chronologically as I printed these off. I'm very intrigued by Bleeding Love. This is with Ewan McGregor and his real wife daughter, real life daughter, Clara.
That sounds freaky.
And he's putting her in a rehab facility because she's inherited his addiction. And he's evidently a bit of a strange from her. I like Ewan McGregor on the big screen and things that aren't Star Wars. One of my favorite movies is Stay. He was in it where it's that kind of very, is this a dream? Is it whose dream is it? Movie that came out in, I want to say, 2004, maybe. I could be wrong on the date. But The Eye of the Beholder, that very bizarre movie with him and Ashley Judd. He does really well on big screen projects. And I'm kind of a fan, so I'm looking forward to seeing him outside of a Star Wars role. I kind of like when people, you see them outside of your favorite fandom and everything like that. And the fact that it's his real life daughter, and the story itself just sounds very intriguing. So that's the first one on my list. I've seen zero previews for it. So I'm keeping so far with my track record, and I think it looks like it's enough of a cool premise that enough people are going to, I think he's got the name recognition to bring people in, and I think there are going to be people like me who say, oh, it's his real life daughter. Well, let's see what this turns out. So that's the first one so far on my anticipated list of 2024.
I wonder who got paid more in that role.
Probably he did.
Yeah. Sexist.
I know. But it is a female director though. So it's the female director's fault if he got paid more. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah,
of course.
So. I don't know. But anyway, that last break was a little long. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna not take a break just yet. So what else is on your list, Janelle Brimer?
I'm looking forward to Ballerina. I'm interested in seeing if they are able to take this John Wick premise and spin it off in a different direction with a female lead. I don't know if Ana de Armas is, maybe she'll surprise me. I don't see it. I feel like sometimes she's forced upon us. she's never going to, like, the fetch is never going to quit trying to make that happen. I feel like maybe there's just something that I don't understand about her, but I am interested in seeing if they are able to take this John Wick spinoff and do something with it and grow it, because now I know this is supposed to have been taken place before. I don't want to spoil the next one. I mean, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, but I go ahead.
Okay, well, it's supposed to be before his untimely demise, or is he? You know, kind of thing. But yeah, I am interested in seeing. I wish they would have taken the character that we saw in John Wick 4. I can't remember her name. The one who fought. I wish they would have done that as a spinoff. I think she was very engaging. Mm-hmm. I think she was great, and I wish that would have. But you know.
Yeah.
You know.
We had someone. It's our same friend from the 314 area code. Just text out the original Dune. We'll also be back at Marcus Theaters on the 18th for the 40th anniversary. So that's exciting. So we'll get to see the original Dune from 1984. Thank you for that text. I appreciate it. Joey V.
I don't think we really got to know our guest very well. Janelle Brimer.
Okay.
She is an influencer, but she is known for her fitness, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I am a personal trainer. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And she is ripped and she will crush you. So I went
through. She can take me in a fight. I'm just going to put it out there. She can take me. So
I went through all the 20.
I usually too out to take anybody in a fight.
So I went through all the 2024 upcoming ones, and I looked for a female bodybuilder one, and look at that, we found one. We got Love Lies Bleeding, March 8th, with Kristen Stewart.
Oh.
And Kristen Stewart, she is a gym manager who falls in love with a female bodybuilder, and that female bodybuilder's family is involved with organized crime. Ooh. And it gets real creepy after that. But it's A24, who we can trust. I love A24 films. They always are a little weirder, a little more thought-provoking. And so I really recommend watching this trailer, though. It's got like an 80s synthy type score.
Stop it, 80s. You know you're going to make me want to watch it if it's 80s. Come on.
And I'm not too familiar with this bodybuilder. I know she's been in The Mandalorian. Is there anybody that's like totally jacked lady in Mandalorian?
Gina Carano.
Different one.
No?
But this actress right here, she is incredible. Katie O'Brien.
Oh, okay. I think she, yeah, okay. I can picture, yeah. I think she was in one of the episodes. I can't remember which one, but
so she's a professional bodybuilder, and she's been in, I think, a bunch of the Marvel films too, doing stunts and stuff. Okay. So just seeing her physicality in this trailer is incredible. Her on stage, you know, oiled up, you know, stuff like that. You see the veins are popping. And then Kristen Stewart, she's one of our greatest actresses also. It's incredible seeing how far she's come from Twilight. Her and Pattinson are two of my most excited to see actors.
Okay.
I'd have to give you some examples, maybe. I don't know if you're a fan of, you probably didn't see Personal Shopper, but she was great in that one as well. So Love Lies Bleeding, a bodybuilder love story.
Okay.
I picked that out specifically for our friend.
All right. He did warn me that he picked that Janelle movie Brimer. For you and for me both. So we'll see what mine is later
that.
On. But yes, okay. So there's that. This one, I know it's I already mentioned it, and it is a sequel. But it's Ghostbusters, for crying out loud. And I love the trailer. So I'm going in with high expectations, which, again, might set me up for complete failure. But I'm excited because we get to see everyone suited up again. It's got the old school people with the new cast. We've got Paul Rudd's back in it, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace. And then we've got Patton Oswalt's in it as well. We've got Bill Murray back. We've got, you know, Ray Stantz as the character. Dan Aykroyd. We've got Ernie Hudson and Annie Potts. Suits up as well, which I remember they had a Ghostbuster action figure when I was a kid of Janine Melnitz as suited up as a Ghostbuster toy. Cause I'm like, this is cool. We do get her in her full costume. So I like the premise. I think it looks cool. Technically Ghostbusters sequels have not always done well. Look at Ghostbusters 2, not as good as the first one, but I think from the nostalgia aspect, I think that the new cast did catch on enough to have a sequel. We're just getting the old crop back as gravy on this. I think it's going to do well at the box office. This is a March 21st release, so I don't think they don't really have a lot of other competition other than the Roadhouse remake, which I'm just that's a perfect movie. You don't need to remake that movie.
Gyllenhaal got jacked. I love Transformations. If someone gets jacked, we're going to watch that one.
All right, we'll see. I'll probably end up seeing it, but I'm just not. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, that's on my list for most anticipated movies.
I have a theory. Ghostbusters, Frozen yes. Empire. It seems like there's going to be a lot of snow. Do you think it's because everyone's looking like a melted candle, old, ugly, and they need to just cover up Bill Murray's crow's feet?
That is a thought.
I knew you'd agree with that. Yes.
I didn't say I agreed. I said it was a thought, but that's...
There's going to be a lot of CGI snow in that, and everyone's going to look real young.
Well, I guess we'll see how that turns out. I'm not sure, but now you're making me doubt myself. Anyway, all right, let me do this. Let me take a very quick commercial break. We're going to come right back, and we will get into the rest of our anticipated movies of 2024. If any of you have anything else you'd like to add, I'm trying to keep a better eye on the chats. So go ahead and you can text us at 84126 with your most anticipated movie of 2024. You can also, if you're in the chats right now, if you're watching us on Facebook and YouTube, feel free to jump in there with Chance and Joe and Will and the rest of the gang. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, guys. It's Emily Swallow. I have two things to tell you, one of which is This Is the Way. And you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Joey B, do you know why I picked Emily Swallow to come back with on commercial break?
Because she's going to be at Big River Comic Con in Hannibal, Missouri.
That is correct. And you also mentioned The Mandalorian.
I did mention Mandalorian.
So I thought I would play that for that. And also, in fact, she will be at Big River Comic Con if you're looking to do something fun. Hannibal, Missouri, the weekend of April 20th, I believe. Jake the Snake will be there, the voice of Scooby-Doo, Scott Innes, and Emily Swallow, the armorer from The Mandalorian. You can meet all three of them. You can check that out. Big River Comic Con. Just go to that website. Not a sponsor of the show or anything like that, but it's a great event. And she will be having me back to moderate some of those panels, so it'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll see you there. Our official sponsor, who is going to be mentioned right now, though, is, of course, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. The website, discoverstcharles.com. I was privileged to go out and see their brand new festival that they're about to launch. I got a sneak preview of it, and they're doing a Valentine's Festival. You might be familiar with their Christmas Festival and their Halloween Festival. Christmas traditions and legends and lanterns, respectively. Their brand new Valentine's Festival, one weekend only. It's coming up next weekend, which is the 10th and 11th, I believe. And you can go out there, whether you're pro-Valentine's or anti-Valentine's, they've got you covered either way. They've got the Lonely Hearts Club out there who will be singing songs. Perfect for those love-lorn people who want nothing to do with love anymore. You can write your lover's name on a piece of paper and burn it in a fire with Miss Havisham. You can learn tango dancing from our unrequited lover triangle with the tango dancers and the violin player. You can do a Shakespeare sonnet, all your own, customized from Romeo and Juliet, who will be out there interacting with you. It's a lot of fun for the whole family. Go ahead and check that out. Noon till 3 next Saturday and Sunday. So make sure you get out there to Old Town St. Charles. There's always something going on out there, and it's a cool place to go, whether you're a foodie, whether you're a history buff, whether you're looking for a new business to check out and patronize. Those are all small businesses out there along North and South Main. It's very important in this economy to support small local businesses. You can do that by going to the website, discoverstcharles.com. Plan your trip now. As we always say, it's an historically good time. Chatting movies of 2024, our most anticipated films, with Janelle Breimer, our special guest, and my executive producer, Joey V. What is next on your list, Janelle Breimer?
I'm torn between The Bike Riders and Monkey Man. I am interested in just staying with the action theme. Things like, I know The Beekeeper is not by any means high cinema, but I quite enjoyed it. That's exactly my wheelhouse. I enjoy non-thought-provoking action movies. I'm wondering if Dev Patel is going to bring us the same type of movie. I understand that I think it's his directorial debut for this movie.
Might be, yeah.
It's a little bit John Wickian, so I love a good action fight scene, so I'm kind of interested in seeing what he has to bring.
Very cool. And to your question, your thing earlier, and I got sidetracked about Ana de Armas, I loved her in the latest James Bond movie. I'm kind of interested to see where we go with it, because I think she's done some good roles. It's not like I will go see anything with her in it, but I am intrigued, and I did like her in the last couple outings we've seen her in, and they had Knives Out on AMC tonight earlier. So
yeah, I did enjoy her in Knives Out. I guess I'm just trying to picture her in I agree that she was in James Bond and she was good. There's certain people that bring a fighter kind of vibe, and like when Halle Berry was in John Wick, it made my skin crawl, because she just does not have that. She's a great actress. It just, some are not suited for, and I'm just interested in seeing how maybe she plays this.
Our friend from the 314 area code, give us your name next time you text, whoever you might be from the 314 area code, says, I'm always excited to see a weird movie starring Nicolas Cage, which I kind of got to agree. I love The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. That was phenomenal movie, and he ends up playing himself. Joey V, your next list, or your next movie on your list for anticipated movies of 2024.
I went and found another original film, not a sequel, that I specifically curated just for you, because I know you're a big World War II fan. So I found one called The Blitz. It's scheduled for 2024. No release date yet, but the filming has already started, so it is on track for a 2024 release date. And The Blitz, written and directed by Steve McQueen, who won Best Picture for 12 Years a Slave. And so it's about the story of a group of Londoners during the events of World War II, when Hitler had London just bombed like crazy.
Yeah.
And it stars our good friend Saoirse Ronan,
oh,
which everyone loves, from Little Women. And so just a World War II movie done by Steve McQueen, I think sounds like I'm sold. It's an Apple TV production, so hopefully it gets enough money like Scorsese did for Killers of the Flower Moon. I've heard some questionable CGI is used in that new Tom Hanks produced show on Apple TV about the pilots.
Masters of the Air.
Yeah, Masters of the Air. So hopefully it's more on the Killers of the Flower Moon end of the spectrum, where they just give them unlimited money. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing The Blitz with you.
Okay.
And we're going to enjoy our World War II movies together.
All right. Are you going to go see the wrestling movie with Janelle then?
Oh, of course. Even though I said I specifically looked for a bodybuilding movie for Janelle, Love Lies Bleeding looks great. And I do love Kristen Stewart. I really think she's great. And she's picked out some really interesting projects since all the Twilight stuff went down.
Yeah. All right. Good enough. The next one on my list is a Guy Ritchie film, because I've not been disappointed by a Guy Ritchie film yet. Like, The Gentleman was one of my favorite movies of 2019, I think, when it came out.
I just checked out The Covenant, and The Covenant was pulse pounding, incredible war movie set in Afghanistan.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And the one that he did 2 years ago, maybe 2022 with Jason Statham, was like, it felt like a 70s gritty type of heist film. I've not been disappointed yet. This one is called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and it's got kind of shades of Inglourious Bastards. They've got these people hunting down, you know, it's the British, a secret British organization set during World War II, and it's based on actual papers and notes from Winston Churchill's library. So I think this one has, again, as Joey pointed out, I'm a World War II history buff. I like that era, that it's that whole, all these things went down across the globe fascinate me. We had Brad Meltzer on talking about his latest book about the conspiracy to kill Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt. So that whole era is fascinating. This has Henry Golding in it. It's got Cary Elwes, and it's got Ralph, Hero finds Tiffin. It's got Henry Cavill, Alan Richardson. So it's got a great cast. So I'm intrigued by the whole premise, the cast looks good, and Guy Ritchie directing. So I think this one, for me, will be a sure bet. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, due out in April. Janelle Brimer, over to you.
I'm going to go with The Bike Riders. I've heard it described as the Godfather movie of motorcycle.
Huh. All right.
Now, whether or not it ends up being, you know, who knows. But, yeah, I think... You're seeing more and more of Austin Butler. Let's hope that in this movie he's still working towards shedding his Elvis, his sound. Masters of the Air, he still has it a little bit. It's kind of unnerving, but he's getting there, right? But anything with Tom Hardy, I quite enjoy. It's supposed to be based on a 1967 photo book of the same name, The Bike Riders. The fictional story chronicles the rise of the Chicago Motorcycle Club over the course of a decade. So kind of interested in seeing that one.
It is
coming out in June.
Epitome of cool looking movie. You don't know anything about it. You're like, that just looks cool. Tom Hardy, right. Michael Shannon, Norman Reedus. It's like, oh my goodness.
He's right.
A bunch of cuties in there.
I like period pieces too. So that is kind of an interesting, we'll see how that one turns out. Yeah, for sure. All right. We'll put that on the list as well. Over to you, Joey V.
I'm a big fan of Richard Linklater's work. Dazed and Confused was one of the movies I had on repeat all the time. And then all of those love movies with Ethan Hawke, you know, was it Before Sunrise, After Midnight, Sunset, you know, all of the Sunset and
Before
Sunrises.
And after, yeah, Sunrise, Sunset.
You know, I loved Fiddler. All of those. So Linklater's got a new one coming out, and it's called Hitman. It's coming out on June 7th, and it stars Glenn Powell. He really broke out in Everybody Wants Some. That was like the follow-up to Dazed and Confused about a baseball team. Glenn Powell was great in that. And then he went on to Top Gun Maverick.
Right.
He played Hangman. So Glenn Powell is an undercover Houston police officer posing as a reliable hitman to arrest those trying to hire him until he has to try and save a woman in need. And it's based on a true story as well. So Linklater, I can't think of one of his movies that I hated. You know, I love all of it. What was the one where it was... Was it 12 Years a Boy? I just said 12 Years a Slave.
It was the prequel to 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
12 Years a Boy. It's a prequel.
The one that they filmed in real time over, like, the kid was growing up and they would go back every few years and film it.
Yeah.
I think it was like A Boy's Life or something.
My Boy's Life was with Hugh Grant, so that's
of course.
Not the right one. And we mentioned
Boyhood.
This one earlier, too, which was The Fall Guy, because everyone knows I'm an 80s kid, so I love that TV series. With Lee Majors and Heather Thomas was on that one. And then Marky Post was from Night Court fame was Lee Majors, which would give him the assignments. Hey, this guy jumped bail, go out and get him. He's a stuntman who on the side is a bounty hunter. He goes out and tries to get these people. And it's based on the TV series. So I'm intrigued. This one I did see a preview for because I saw the preview for it like in December. Like, it was a while back that I saw the first trailer for it. I was like, wow, that's not coming out until May, and I'm already seeing trailers. So it was unavoidable, but it's Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which, again, I've not seen anything I haven't disliked her in, going all the way back to Devil Wears Prada and before that. Winston Duke is in this. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso. So it's got an impeccable cast. And it's based on a premise that I enjoy. So I think the trailer looked very fun. It's not going to take itself too seriously. It's going to kind of stay in that action comedy vein. So I think the Fall Guy is from Universal Pictures throughout May the 3rd will be on my list. And with that said, we're going to take a real quick commercial break because I need to come back and do another live read. So we are going to do that. We'll come right back. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. Want to make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games. I know Janelle's a comic book fan as well. Maybe you are too. Maybe your local comic book store shut down because that's been happening a lot, especially since COVID. A lot of people just said, you know what? We can't keep the online model going or the brick and mortar model going. Some places have shifted to online. Larry Quiggins, the owner of Bugs Comics and Games, he reopened his shop just a little over 2 years ago now, and I was so excited because I used to ride my bike all the way up from where I lived over by Hazelwood Central all the way up to West Florissant. For those of you in North County, you know how big of a trek that is on a bike in the snow sometimes to get my weekly comic books, and I'm very excited that he's reopened his shop, and now I'm driving. I'm not riding my bike all the way out there, but it'd be worth it even if I did, because Larry's got a great selection of back issues, toys, games. He's got vintage board games on the shelf up there. You can buy those. He's got model kits. He's got action figures and, of course, new comic books. If you're getting ready to, you know, you're wanting to see Deadpool 3 coming out, you're wanting to find out who the heck is Madam Web that people keep talking about, this new movie coming out in February, go back and look at the comic books, and Larry can help you there. If you're new, you're brand new, you're lost, go and say, hey, I heard about you on Geek to Me Radio. I'd like to know where I start for this Madam Web stuff. He'll point you in the right direction. He'll pick out some comic books. And the great thing is, he and I just had this talk about, if he's listening, he knows the comic I'm talking about. There's a comic book that recently came out, and people started price gouging. People were going in, wiping them off the shelves, selling them for $25, $30. He didn't do that. He kept some aside in the back for customers who come in. I was kind of hoping to get this comic. You know what? I got that comic. He goes and gets it for you. He's not going to gouge you. He didn't raise the price at all. And I told him, I said, Larry, that's one of the things I appreciate about you. And I'm so glad that you are with me and you're the sponsor for this show, because I like backing people with integrity. And I like the fact that he's got a show or a shop, and that's the way he runs his business. So if you're listening right now and you want to go check him out, they're right there on Bryan Road in O'Fallon, Missouri, easily accessible from the Page Extension 364 or from Highway 70, right out there in O'Fallon, Missouri. Check him out. And if you're online, go to Instagram, Instagram.com, Bugs Comics and Games. He'll ship comics to you. Check out the comics that he puts up on Instagram. He'll ship those to you. So maybe your local comic book store closed down. Even online, Larry can be your new local comic book store. Bugs Comics and Games, very proud to have them as the official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. And make sure you ask them about the Avengers Club so you start saving money on your comics. With that said, Paul Hickey has joined the chat. Marriage Story is a movie he's looking forward to in 2024. That was not on my list, but there's so many movies coming out. I've got like 8 pages of movies that are coming out in 2024. It's crazy. And one of the things I tried to do with my lists, not that I'm judging Joey or Janelle if they did, I tried to stick to movies that are going to be theatrically released, not ones that are on Netflix or Apple exclusives and things like that. But with that said, we probably got time for one more each. Janelle, what's another one on your list that you would like to mention?
Put it all out there. I do want to see almost all of the sequels or prequels that are coming out this year. That's just kind of a given. I'm trying to stick to stuff that's kind of new. So we're covering like Joker, Gladiator, all those Beetlejuice. I want to see them all. So I wish I had time to listen, but we don't. So, now we got to narrow it down to... I'm interested in Nosferatu, Mickey 17, and Wicked Part 1.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oddly enough. And then A Quiet Place, Day 1. And I'm interested in that because John Krasinski is not directing this one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little interested in seeing how the new director and direction takes off on this.
It's been such a sleeper that came out of nowhere. But I remember, I think you were at that screening too in The Esquire. You could hear a pin drop, like every little rattle of a popcorn bag or slurp of a soda. You could hear it because that theater was dead silent,
dead
which
silent.
Was amazing. Yes. Amazing theater experience going to see the original Quiet Place. Okay, so that's a solid entry. That one did not hit my list, but I am like you. There's so many of these movies I'm going to see that I'm excited about that I just didn't highlight for the purposes of this show. Joey V. I do not have you on. That's my fault. I'm so sorry. There you go. Microphone's on. Go ahead.
I'll go a little deeper into Mickey 17. It has completed filming, but it was pushed back because of the SAG-AFTRA strike. But that is Bong Joon-ho, who famously won Best Picture for Parasite. Yep. It's his follow-up to that. Mickey 17 follows Robert Pattinson as a cloned astronaut sent to colonize an icy planet. Hmm. And, you know, if he dies, he comes back and he's got memories of the previous iteration of him. And so Robert Pattinson, another one from the Twilight series that has just made the most interesting choices.
Yeah.
Like Good Time from the Safdie brothers, one of my favorite movies that's come out ever since the Twilight movies have ended. And you have to check out Good Time. It's like hour and a half nonstop. Your heart rate is just going nuts watching that. So I'm keeping a close eye on that one and making sure it comes out this year. Godzilla, I think, took its original release date because it's a Warner Brothers film. So we'll see. But, you know, the Oscar movies come out later in the year, usually around November, December. So I think there's going to be a big push by Warner Brothers for Bong Joon-ho, creator of Parasite's next film, Mickey 17.
Mickey 17, okay. That'll be a good one on my list. Bill Blanky also in the chat says Godzilla versus King Kong, The New Empire is on his list. That's, I think, a lot of people, especially with Godzilla Minus One, a lot of people are now, oh, I want to see what the next anything Godzilla is. So that's I know, raising a lot of flags for most people.
That's a big move for the Academy to nominate Godzilla Minus One. It was in special effects, but I mean, that's a completely Japanese production.
Right.
The American Motion Picture Academy Arts and Sciences, they nominated a Japanese film. That's great. Yeah. I can't wait to see it when it comes out on home theater.
Yeah, and that's one I missed as well in theaters. Was Godzilla Minus One. Was it? I've not heard anybody say it was bad, so I'm very excited to see that one. I'm excited.
Yes, it was very more human-driven than it was. I mean, yeah, it's very good.
Yeah,
very good.
I will end up seeing that at some point. I just need to find the time to put aside and sit down and watch it at home. As much as I said I was not going to put a sequel on my list, and I said Ghostbusters, I want to give an honorable mention because Deadpool 3 has Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine. Come on. As a comic book fan, how can you not want to see that? But that's going to be amazing.
Did he work out for this one?
I think he did work out for this
one. We got to see it then.
Yeah. I think that's on the list. So.
I like anybody who does 6,000 calories a day and works out 6 hours a day and then can't go to sleep. Oh, I love stuff like
insane
that.
Insane that he did all that for this part. But I've got a lot of them. I'm excited to see Gladiator 2 because, like I said, I think any movie that comes out 30 to 40 years after the original, like Top Gun Maverick, Blade Runner 2049, has done really well in my book. So I'm excited for Gladiator 2 regardless. Other ones, not so much. Venom 3, the second one was not great, so we'll see. But there were some horror movies on the list that looked very interesting. But some of them I'm worried about the premise because horror movies, you think, oh, that's going to be good, and then it's just complete rubbish. But I love this first one so much, I got to say I'm very intrigued to see Smile 2 because I think that was a great horror movie. It was an original premise. The acting was good. I really enjoyed it. What?
You think it was an original premise? Did you see Denzel Washington's Fallen?
Yes, but it's like apples and hand grenades, though, because I just commented, someone on Twitter said, hey, without saying, they always do this post, without saying this movie, what's your favorite movie from this actor? And Fallen is my favorite Denzel Washington movie. The cast, John Goodman, Donald Sutherland, great film, loved it.
Great movie.
But I felt like they weren't purposely, it wasn't Demon purposely passing himself, it's whoever got caught in the demon's gaze, basically.
It's true. I mean, that is. But I guess as far as like the demon being passed along and never really going anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Or, you know, 30, 40 years later, but like,
yeah,
that demon's not gone and fallen. I got that same vibe though watching it.
Yeah, I can see your point, but I feel like this was one of the things I loved about the original movie too, is this is one of those ones where, and there's so many movies like this, the Boogeyman movie that came out in the early 2000s with the guy from Seventh Heaven. Nine times out of 10, when you end up seeing the monster, it's like, that's what we were worried about this whole time. I think this is one of those few movies where you see the thing and you're like, holy crap, that's legitimately terrifying.
That was horrifying. Yeah. It was disconcerting to watch that on screen. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm excited because I like that movie so much. This is one of those ones with all the horror movies out. Like they had another one, Imaginary, where the woman goes back to her childhood home and her best friend, her little stuffed animal, is very upset that she was abandoned. I'm like, the movie poster looked a little intriguing, but when you say the premise out loud, I'm like, really? I mean, we've already got Winnie the Pooh, the bloody version of that out there. I'm like, this kind of seems like it could be like a double feature with Winnie the Pooh 2, which is also coming out. It's Imaginary. But we'll see. But anyway, yeah, so Smile 2, we'll leave it there because I had a few other ones that were on the list, much like it sounds like Janelle had. I think Joey V had a couple other ones as well. But that's where we're going to leave it because the hour is nearly up. Before we do sign off, though, if people want to find out more about you, see your movie reviews, I know you've got a gorgeous website and you're active on social media. Tell people where they can keep up with you.
Ooh, probably easiest places are Instagram and Twitter, both the same name. It's at Holy, @HOLY_ELLE, for movie reviews and my rants about Cardinal baseball. Ongoing. Those are the two main places. I do have my Holy Elf Fit on Instagram as well for personal training. But yeah, you can find me there a lot.
Very cool. I appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night to join us for the movie review of Argyle and for the most anticipated movies. I guess I'll see you at the next one. I think is the next one I've got down anyway is the High Point Drive Away Dolls.
Yes, the 9th.
So I'll see you on that one.
Yeah, right. Thank you for having me. It's a really pleasure being here. It was very much fun. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. I had fun too. I think Joey V had fun. So yeah, I appreciate the time and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. There she goes. Make sure you check her out. That's going to do it for us. Joey V, I know you never like to give out your letterboxd or anything like that, but do you want to tell people if they want to keep up with you at all? Social media handles, anything like that you want to tell people about?
Nope, not at all. All right. It is Joey_VEE though, if you do look me up. Watch some great Criterion Collection stuff. I just got a 77-inch TV OLED, so I'm trying to get into the 4K UHD disc thing. And I watched Jaws in 4K the other day, and it was incredible. All right, I'm watching movies in a totally different way now.
All right, so Joey V is online. You can catch him there on Twitter. Next week, we're going to have Mikkel McIntosh joining us back again from Videra Wine Bar with some holiday Valentine's type of cocktail specials. After that, we'll have my interview with director Joe Dante. This is the 40th anniversary of Gremlins, so I'm so excited to share that interview with you with legendary director Joe Dante. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @GeekToMeRadio. And, of course, give our website a look, geektomeradio.com. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button so we get you and we'll get notifications every time we go live like we did tonight. Until next week, my friends. That's our show. This is Geek to Me Radio. Thank you, Hollywood. Good night.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome bit.ly/geektome